يا حسين الحمد لله رب العالمين.
Please say one more salawat.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
يا الله.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وطبيب نفوسنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، لا سيما بقية الله روحي وأرواح العالمين لمقدمه الفداء. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. لنعم الحور حر بني رياحي، لنعم الحور مختلف الرماح، ونعم الحور عند مختلف الرماح، ونعم الحور إذ جاد بنفسه عند الصباح. صلوات
محمد وآل محمد.
Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, respected scholars, all brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa azam Allah ujurana wa ujurakum bi musabina bil Husayn alayhi salam. Wallah, only if 1 minute of our attendance in these gatherings, inshallah, by the grace of God, is accepted for us is enough, for our hereafter is enough. Alhamdulillah, alladhi hadana lihada. وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِيَ لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَا اللَّهُ. How can we ever be grateful to this divine grace of Alhamdulillah, loving and believing and inshallah Ya Rab following Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. There is a question normally, and this is part of my commercials by the way, Haj Murtaza, it's not counted as my part of my lecture. There is a question commonly the youth, they are asking that what is the source of this chest beating or sinezani that we are doing? What are we doing this for? Please remember, of course, there is a long discussions about this. In just brief spiritual commercial, I give you a few authentic, most authentic references for it. In general, the masaeb or the mourning or azadari that we are doing is a natural reaction or emotional reaction to someone that you love. As I said, if you have, God forbid, experienced the loss of a dear, you don't need any ayah or hadith. You don't need anyone to come and tell you that, look, for the passing away of your mother, it's recommended that you cry. Said, oh, really? Okay, thank you very much. And therefore, I'm going to cry. Naturally, tears flow. If I genuinely, truly, sincerely know Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, it's just enough to know them that your tears flow. You don't need to wait for any reasons for it. It's an emotional reaction of a human being, any ordinary human. Some people, some brothers or perhaps even sisters, they said, but Sheikh, I'm attending the majalis, but I can cry. Subhanallah, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has given a prescription for that. And in our series of practical irfan, we have well discussed and established that one. That the Imam says that if you cannot cry, endeavor to cry. It's just like someone who is not patient, endeavor to be patient, you will get there. Inshallah, eventually you will get the patience. Likewise, endeavor to cry, try to visualize the scene, try to relate it to yourself, and inshallah, the fountain of tears in your eyes will flow, and subhanallah, drops of tears are the chains of connection, emotional connections, shortcut bridge between you and Imam Hussein alayhi salam and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And remember that our tears are tawassul. Crying is tawassul for Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And the more often you do it, as I said it, even I beg you, if possible, all year round, spend a few minutes every day. Even Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, even stands, assalamu alaykum ya Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. That's it. Very simple. After it. But make every day of your life connected to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, because these days will come back to you in your barzakh. You will benefit from them. This is about weeping and crying. That was a very common practice of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and so much they have recommended this. All the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, they had a poet who used to recite Marthiyah for them on occasions, any occasions. Imam Baqir, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, even they used to write in their final will, even after I die and they were martyred, Imam Sadiq says, not that for me, put some money aside for the next 10 years after I've departed this dunya, employ someone, a poet, to recite Marthiyah for my grandfather Imam Hussein alayhi salam in Mina. This was the practice of Ahlul Bayt. But what about chest beating and latmiyah? Chest beating is also another step of expression of the emotion of grief and sorrow and mourning for Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. One hadith is from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, after the tragedy of Karbala, وَلَقَدْ لَتَمْنَا الْخُدُودَ الْفَاطِمِيَّاتُ عَلَى الْحُسَيْنِ بْنَ عَلِيٍّ وَعَلَى مِثْلِهِ تُلْتَمُ الْخُدُودَ وَتُشَقُّ الْجُيُوبِ. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that after the tragedy of Karbala, the ladies from the generation of Fatimah al-Zahra, they are known as Fatimiyat. The ladies from the generation of Fatima al-Zahra, they used to weep and cry, and they used to strike their heads. Latam means to hit. Whether hitting the chest, hitting the thigh, whether hitting the face, this is latam. But it's more often used for hitting the face. They used to do wailing and hitting their faces. This is what Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is narrating. So if this was not permissible, the Imams of Ahlul Bayt would have stopped them. The fact that not only they did not stop them, they encouraged them, and Imam Sadiq is narrating this, and I'm quoting this from the book of Tahzib al-Ahkam, one of the four most authentic books of hadith of the Shia. And then the Imam says, on someone like Imam Hussein alayhi salam, it's so okay and acceptable and recommended to even strike your face, let alone striking your chest. وعلى مثله فلتلتم الخدود. Someone like Imam Hussein, because normally even some of our Jewish fuqaha, they say at the death of an ordinary person, it is not permissible to strike your face, your chest, and do certain things like ripping your shirt. There may be even a kafara for it. But when it comes for Imam Hussein alayhi salam, for Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, Imam Sadiq says, on someone like Imam Hussein, which means Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, it is so well recommended. Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, this is in the book of Al-Kafi. Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam was asked about jaza', mal jaza', what is mourning, being sorrowful and grieving for Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. The Imam says, ashadul jaza', the normal mourning is weeping and crying. This is a normal practice. But the extreme level of it, and this has a message for those who go beyond what Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam has described. The Imam says, ashadul jaza', the extreme level of mourning and grieving for Imam Hussein alayhi salam is latmul khudud wa sudur, is to strike your faces and your chest. And shaqqul juyub, and rip your shirt. This ripping of the shirt, the striking the face and the chest, this is just like it happens as a natural reaction. For someone who really gets in the majlis so emotional, unconsciously, or it's not astaghfirullah fake or showing off, like someone said that I saw someone was ripping his shirt, or I don't know, doing zanjizani, and he was taking selfie. I don't know, wallahu alam, God knows the intention, but no, as a natural kind of things, if it's happening as a religious gesture, getting so emotional, Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam says this is the extreme level of it and it's acceptable. So what we are doing, the chest beating, is again within the recommendations of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Even if you take it further on Ashura and you are striking your face and your head, so be it. Still, it is within the recommendation of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam with salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We've been talking about the title that Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam has given to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam as a successor of the prophets, and that is Da'i Allah, the one who is calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we said all the imams have been calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the prophets have been calling to the Almighty God in the sense of monotheism and tawheed. However, having said that, we need to make sure that the principles that as the followers of Ahlul Bayt we believe in, they are consistent with monotheism, with the major principle of monotheism and tawheed. Otherwise, this cannot be Islam, this cannot be the belief of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Unfortunately, on this issue of monotheism, because there are some that they know that we Muslims are very sensitive about Tawheed, and of course, so it's a very sensitive issue, they try to manipulate or play with our intelligence or take advantage of our ignorance. And they say, look, the Quran is talking about God-centricity. Tawheed, it means God-centricity. And between the brackets, if I may put a footnote, they never said Allah-centricity, because I tell you later on perhaps why. God-centricity. And God-centricity, it means that there is no such thing as prophet-centricity. The central belief in Islam that determines whether you will be hellbound or not rotates around whether or not you believe in God. Therefore, where in the Quran, when God talks about and mentions the verses of salvation, belief in the prophets are mentioned? Because belief in the prophets is unnecessary. It's not a requirement. If you believe in them, okay, but it's not a requirement for your salvation. I'm quoting, by the way, remember that. It's not what I believe. Alhamdulillah. They say because God-centricity, it means only God matters. The only criteria or requirement for salvation is you believe in God and you believe in the hereafter, and in between whatever your intellect dictates, you do righteous good deeds. That's what the Quran says. And how you believe in God, whatever that your intellect again leads you to. What kind of belief in the last day, whatever your intellect leads you, or if you wish to go through any of the prophets. But it is not necessary that you have to go through the prophets. And therefore, when you study the Quran, they say, I'm quoting, when you study the Quran, you see that Prophet Musa, Jesus, Prophet of Islam, all the prophets, belief in them is not central part of salvation. Okay? Not only that, they have even the audacity to take it one step further and they say there is no such thing as finality of the prophets. Come on. The last prophet came 1400 years ago. You cannot even compare the requirement of our modern life with 200 years ago, let alone 1400 years ago. You want to bring the law of 1400 years ago to today's modern world in Europe and US? Come on, this is obsolete and so outdated. The Sharia law is outdated. It was okay for the time of the Prophet, but for our modern time, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to see what the parliament decides and what we go with that, with the local law that in any country, they look at the requirements and intellectual people put their intellectuality together and come up with the law. This is it. There is, inshallah, you will learn tonight that this is not a new ideology, corrupted ideology. This ideology existed prior even to the advent of Islam. And unfortunately, today, some so-called Muslims, some so-called that they are living within the Shia community, they come with these with certain agendas. Wallahu alam. One of the reasons for that is because, inshallah, in the coming nights, it will be more clarified and explained. One of the reasons for that is because they understand that if they want to believe in the centricity of the prophets and belief in the prophets is central belief, therefore, there must be a prescription. They say, look, I don't want any prescription. Because if you give me a prescription, that means there's a path. And I have to go through this path to reach God. No, I want to wipe all the paths and I want to go the way that my intellect tells me. Also, if I believe in the prophets, then I have to believe in the Sharia that the prophets have brought. I don't know if you're familiar, if you're following the news in the secular Western world. In the secular, today's Western world, Sharia law is extremely detested. All the propaganda against the Sharia law is mainly because of one main issue. It's the power play. Who holds the reign? We hold it, or those jurists in Qom or Najaf hold it. Because we don't want the jurists in Qom and Najaf hold the reign, we have to hold the power. Therefore, we decide to deny the Sharia law. Unless otherwise, if you tell them, look, Sharia law is in your hand, sitting in Europe, US, wherever, they have no issue with that. Some years ago, maybe about 15 years ago, for your information, if anybody is interested, I can forward the article to him. I was doing a research, comparison research between Islamic transaction law and the Western secular law, the English common law. In Fisher's Library of Sydney University, I came across a very scholarly article written by a law professor from North Carolina of University in America. Subhanallah, this professor, this article is more than 15 years old for sure, but it's still available online. He proves that the English common law is taken from the Islamic law. During the Crusades, they have taken, because the reason that I was interested in this, because I saw, especially in the laws of transactions, there are many similarities. The taxation law is a lot taken from our home system. Many similarities. That made me more curious. By the way, the main motivation that they are against the Sharia law, because they don't want the power to rest with the jurists residing in Qom or Najaf. This is our political agenda, by the way, behind it. But in a nutshell, they say that the way that they portray to us is just like this, that look, prophets are like doctors. You don't need the doctors after you got the prescription and the medicine. Once you go to the doctor to get the prescription, once you go to the chemist and got the prescription and the medication, you no longer need to worry about the chemist and the GP and your physician. Likewise, once you reach God, all else, that's exactly what they say. Once you reach God, all else becomes a mirage, including prophets. Prophets are like ladders. Once you reach the top of the building, get to the roof, you don't need to worry about the ladder anymore. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad.
Now, it's a free world. Lakum dinukum waliyadin. People have the right to believe or not believe in anything they want. However, because they are telling me and you as Muslims that where in the Quran God is making belief in the prophets a requirement for salvation, then we cannot remain silent. I have to say, okay, my dear, the Holy Quran is available universally. Let us tonight read the Quran. Remember that Imam Hussein alayhi salam himself, in his final will, he says that, look, the reason for my uprising is that asiru besirat jaddi wa abi. The reason that I'm going towards Kufa and fighting at the cost of even my life and my dears is because I want to revive the lifestyle of my grandfather, the Holy Prophet, and my father. My father part of it for tomorrow night, the grandfather for tonight. Even when Imam Zaman ajalallah farajah Sharif comes, and God knows when, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Maybe another millennium, God knows when, even Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, anytime in the future that Imam Zaman comes, he comes to revive Islam. He comes to revive the Sharia law of the time of the Holy Prophet. Because Imam Zaman, inshallah, one night we'll talk about the connection between Imam Hussein and Imam Zaman. Imam Zaman's mission is similar to the mission of his ancestors, similar to the mission of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, to revive the original Islam, as Imam Hussein alayhi salam meant to do that. So let's go to the Quran, inshallah, one by one quickly. Believe me, I deleted half of the PowerPoints before I send it to the brothers, because otherwise, it's impossible to cover it in one night. But I'll give you some clue and some codes if you want to take it any further. It's not difficult. I'm just introducing the answer to you and leave the rest, inshallah, to your research to find out. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. We begin with the ayah that is related to Imam Hussein alayhi salam as da'iyallah in Suratul Anfal. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu istajibu lillahi walil rasul idha da'akum lima yuhyikum. O you who believe, answer the call of the one who is inviting you. Imam Hussein is the caller of God. Answer the one who is inviting you to what? Istajibu lillah. Answer Allah and answer the messenger of God. Please, if you can see the screen, I can see it, you can inshallah see it. Note that God is not only inviting you to answer to Allah. Istajibu lillah wa lirrasul. Respond in obedience to Allah and his messenger. They come together, and we'll conclude later on that they go together also as well. Estajibu lillah wa lirrasul. For what? Idha da'akum. When the Prophet is inviting you. Prophet is da'iyallah. And Imam Hussein as successor is also da'i. When the Prophet is inviting you to revive you. In other words, if you want to be revived spiritually, you have to respond to the call of Allah and the call of the messenger of Allah. Very briefly, because we have still ayah to go through. This is, as you can see here, answering the call of Allah and the messenger are paired together here. Then we go to Surah An-Nisa, ayah number 150 and 151. You have the screen, and you otherwise, you just listen to me. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Innal ladhina. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi. Say salawat for me to refresh my memory to remember the ayah. Ayah 150 of Surah An-Nisa. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الذين يكفرون بالله ورسله ويريدون أن يفرقوا بين الله ورسله ويقولون نؤمن ببعض ونكفر ببعض ويريدون أن يتخذوا بين ذلك سبيلا أولئك هم الكافرون حقا وأعتدنا للكافرين عذابا مهينا صدق الله العلي العظيم. الله أكبر. سورة النساء آية 150, 151. In fact, 152 is also related. What can we do? We have very limited time. Here between brackets, quickly, a very quick commercial. Brothers, sisters, please, billahi alaikum, study Islam academically, properly. These arguments, these misgivings that are thrown to the community, they often get through to youth due to, with all respect, their ignorance about Islam. Because we lack education. They take advantage of our ignorance. Otherwise, these issues are so easy to address. Don't think that they have come up with something new. It's nothing new. This ayah is the proof that even at the time of Islam, as I give you the reasons for that, this corrupted ideology was emerging. The Almighty God says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. Surely those who disbelieve in Allah and His messengers. See again, disbelief in Allah and messengers are paired together. God starts with this for a reason. And then the rest of the ayah explains. What do you mean, ya Allah, they disbelieve in Allah and His messengers? وَيُرِيدُونَ أَن يُفَرِّقُوا بَيْنَ اللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. They wish to distinguish between Allah, differentiate and distinguish between Allah and His messengers. وَيَقُولُونَ نُؤْمِنُ بِبَعْضٍ وَنَكْفُرُ بِبَعْضٍ. They say that we only believe in some. What does it mean? We only believe in Allah. And we don't need to believe. Belief in the prophets is not centricity. It's not a requirement for salvation. And then further they say, وَيُرِيدُونَ أَن يَتَّخِذُوا بَيْنَ ذَلَكَ سَبِيلًا. They say, look, we are not like atheists that we don't believe in God. But we don't have to be like you guys that you believe in the prophets. We take it way in between. I believe in God and that should be sufficient for my salvation. They are taking a way in between. Look at what the Almighty God calls them. Quran says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقَّا. They are truly disbelievers. They are true disbelievers. As a slang, we say, you are full of it. You can't call yourself a true Muslim if you don't believe. There is no salvation if you have come to know about the prophets and the Prophet of Islam, and yet you say it's not central, it's not a requirement. You cannot call yourself a Muslim. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقًّا. So what? Quran says, and if so, وَأَعْتَدْنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابًا مُهِينًا. And we have, the Almighty God says, we have prepared for the disbelievers a humiliating punishment. And then the next ayah 152, you read it later on yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, however, those who believe in Allah and His messengers and do not distinguish between them, then God promises them salvation. It's very clear. I think if we had no ayah other than this ayah would suffice and would solve the problem. But still there are numbers of ayat in the Quran. Another one, we go to Surah Al-A'raf now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, because sometimes they come with an argument that this is only for the Muslims and believers. No, that's not true. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قل يا أيها الناس. The Holy Prophet, the Almighty God says to the Prophet, proclaim, O you mankind. قل يا أيها الناس إني رسول الله إليكم. I am the Prophet to all of you, the Messenger of God to all of you, to all mankind. And then the Quran describes Allah, that what we are talking about, لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يُحْيِي لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا اللَّهُ يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ, until the Prophet says, then tell them, فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ. Can you see the screen? I don't. فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ النَّبِيِّ الْأُمِّي. Then, therefore, since I'm a messenger for mankind, therefore believe in Allah, full stop, no, and His messenger. My dear prophets are not like physicians. They are not like your chemist. They are not like a builder that you only need them to build the house and they say, goodbye, contract is finished, I don't need to see you anymore. Prophets, they are role models. We need to follow them, obey them, and believe in them as well on the top of that. Another ayah, say, remain in Surah Al-A'raf. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هل أدلكم على تجارة تنجيكم من عذاب أليم؟ Quran again is inviting us to a business. All businessmen, businesswomen, speaking the language of business, more people relate to it. Quran says, come, should I invite you to a business that rescues you from the painful torment, hell? In other words, do you want to be to receive salvation? Come to me and I will introduce it to you. هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ تِجَارَةٍ تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. What is it, that business, ya Allah? تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. You believe in Allah and His messenger. Why God didn't say تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ? That is enough. Belief in the prophets is not central. No, my dear. These two come together. تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. It is for this reason, وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمْ, every single day and night that we pray in the tashahud of our namaz, what do we say? Alhamdulillah, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. So the testimony to believe in the Prophet comes along with the testimony of believing in Allah, comes along with Tawheed. They are not separated. Don't you want us that inshallah after 120 years when you die, somebody comes to your grave shaking your body and says, Ya Fulan ibn Fulan, إِذَا أَتَاكَ الْمَلَكَانِ الْمُقَرَّبَانِ رَسُولَيْنِ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَخَفْ وَلَا تَحْزَنْ وَقُلْ فِي جَوَابِهِمَا. You elderlies, and everybody should know this شهادت الموت. وَقُلْ فِي جَوَابِهِمَا اللَّهُ جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ رَبِّي وَمُحَمَّدٌ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ نَبِيِّ. Then we go to the imams. That is for tomorrow night, inshallah. Don't you want to them to come to your grave and say testimony of this to you, Habibi? Why do you say that the belief in the prophets is not a requirement for salvation? Where do we get this from? Yes, There are few ayat in the Quran. I'll come to it and I'll explain it. Inshallah, if there is any sincerity, then everything will be clarified with salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Couple of Q&A or misgivings and answers and explanations. They come up and they say that, look, people of the cave or the companions of the cave, they did not believe in any prophets. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Kahf is praising them. So that's why we say belief in the prophets is not central for salvation and it's not a requirement for salvation. People of the cave, for sure, they embrace salvation without believing in any prophets. Full stop. We say, subhanAllah, what a big accusation to the people of the cave. Where did you get this from? The story of the people of the cave or the companions of the caves mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf, chapter 18 of the Quran, from ayah 9 to 26, through about 15 ayah. Also, in the Christian tradition, they have a similar story, apparently the same story, but not exactly the same that Quran is narrating naturally. They refer to them as the seven sleepers, for those who want to search about them. The seven sleepers are Ashab al-Kahf that we are talking about. Ashab al-Kahf lived in around the year 250 AD. That is 250 years after the ascension of Prophet Jesus alayhi salam, during the reign of a king known as Daqyanus or Decius in English. Alright? They believed in Prophet Jesus alayhi salam as a prophet, not God. If you are familiar with the history of Christianity, until before the early fourth century, Christians were still monotheists. They did not believe in Trinity. Trinity was imported later on during the Council of Nicaea, not to go to the details of it. So these young men, or as Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, these men, it's not necessarily that they were young. These men, God knows their numbers, they were believers in the religion of Prophet Jesus alayhi salam. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says they were practicing taqiyya. Why? Because paganism was prevailed at their time. The king of their time, Decius, he was a pagan, idol worshiper. Therefore, because they were living in the royal palace, they were practicing taqiyya until they reached the stage that we cannot practice the religion of Islam of the time of Prophet Isa alayhi salam. Therefore, they escaped and went to the cave. Don't ever say that they did not believe in any prophet. Astaghfirullah. Of course, they believe in the prophet of their time, i.e. Prophet Jesus alayhi salam. So, my dear, this argument is not a valid argument. What else do you have in your pocket? Anything else? They said, yes, there is something else that we have. What is it? Prior to the advent of Islam, there are numbers of people that history has mentioned, their names even, that they were known as Hunafa. Hunafa, it means the plural form of Hanif. They say, and then we'll come back to it, they say Hunafa are those who are monotheists. They were muwahideen. They believe in only in one God. Because prior to the advent of Islam, there was no religion, there was no Islam or prophet. So they only, in their own intellectual discovery, they discovered God as the creator of the universe, a superpower, something, and they believe in Allah, in however they discovered. And the Holy Prophet has promised them paradise. They receive salvation. You can't say they go to hell. We say, okay, you're talking about the Hunafa. Let's go back to the books of history that is mentioned to see who are they. Correct. Prior to the advent of Islam, there are certain people known as Hunafa. But first of all, Hanif, Allama Tabatabai, Rahmatullah Alai, precisely he says that, and dictionary, Arabic dictionary confirms that. Allama Tabatabai says, you know, Hanif is the one who is not deviated to the sides of the extreme. Hanif is the one who's on the right path. Proof of that in Surah Al-Baqarah, that the Almighty God says, the Christians and the Jews used to say, Kunu Hudan o Nasara Tahdadu. Say, if you want to be among the guided people, join the Jewish community or the Christian community. Quran says, Bal Millata Ibrahim Hanifa. Bal, in Arabic we call it Bal al-Idrab. That means nay, no, neither of you. Rather, Millata, the religion of Prophet Ibrahim, Hanif, yani it, the religion of Prophet Ibrahim was not deviated, was on the right path. Therefore, Hunafa, Hanif, is the one who believes in the religion of Prophet Ibrahim most likely. Not that just discovered a superpower called God. Where did you get this from? Hanif is an expression many times is mentioned in the Quran. Check it and you will acknowledge it. Number one. Number two, we go to the biography of some of these Hanafa. Subhanallah. You will realize that this proof is more against them than in their favor. I have two names for you, at least. One of them, his name is Amr ibn Nufail. Amr ibn Nufail, he was one of the monotheists. Prior to the advent of Islam, he was a believer in God, in Allah, never prostrated before the idols, did not believe in idols. I can't say never, but anyway, he was a believer. And 5 years before the advent of Islam, he passed away. He died. All right. His son Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufail lived the time of Islam, converted to Islam or reverted to Islam. The Holy Prophet says to him that your father will be resurrected on the judgment day as a Muslim community because he lived among the pagans, but he was not a pagan. He believed in one God. But that was because he did not live the life, the time of Islam, to be tested about the concept of prophecy and whether believes or disbelieves in the prophets. Another example, his name is Umayyah ibn Abi Salt. Can you see it on the screen? I deliberately highlighted it for you to go and do a research about this guy. This Umayyah ibn Salt is the one who promoted the ideology of God-centricity. And that the prophecy and the concept of prophets are not central belief for salvation. This Umayyah ibn Salt was this person. Study his biography. He was a poet, very powerful poet. You will be amazed that his poems are talking mostly about ethical issues, asceticism, zohd, about unity of God, tawhid. At the time of Jahiliyyah, in the middle of all pagans. All right? He survived the time of Islam. The Holy Prophet offers Islam to everyone, including Umayyah ibn Abi Salt. Umayyah ibn Abi Salt refused to accept Islam. He said, I don't need Islam. Salvation does not require me to believe in you. I only believe in one unique God. That suffices me. He lived until when Muslims migrated to Medina. 3 years after the migration of the Prophet, the battle, or 2 years, the battle of Badr took place. He said a poetry in support of the pagans against the Holy Prophet. Historians, they say because he became jealous of the Prophet, out of jealousy. He apparently believes in one God, and these are pagans, similar to the Jewish people at the time of the Prophet, that they are not pagans, but you see for agenda that they had, they supported. They said, because Muhammad is a common friend. Sometimes it's a common friend that brings them together. He said poetry in support of them against the Holy Prophet of Islam. The Holy Prophet said, when he died, the Holy Prophet said that Umayyah ibn Abi Salt, his poems was muwahhid, his poems. But himself, he died kafir, even though he believed in one God. This is according to the word of the Holy Prophet of Islam. So don't refer to Hunafa. The story of Hunafa is more against this ideology than its favor. The last argument, they say that, well, some of the ayat of the Quran, like the ones that in Surah Al-Tawbah or in Surah Al-Baqarah, they say that salvation requires only belief in God, belief in the last day, and doing righteous good is nothing else. That's why we said that. I said, my dear, if you want to understand the Quran, we have few instances in the Quran that does not explicitly mention belief in the prophets along with belief in God. But when majority of the ayat are mentioned that, the technical understanding of the Quran requires this, that you have to interpret those supposedly ambiguous ayat with the rest of the bulk of the ayat. Interpreted that belief in God, it means on the condition that through the prophets you reach to Allah, not any kind of. Otherwise, the kuffar of Quraysh also, they believed in God, and they were saying that we are worshiping these idols ليقربونا إلى الله زلفا, to make us closer to God. Don't make a mistake. They were not disbelieving in the Creator, yet God didn't accept it, because this is not God that is the real God. This is your imagination about God. All right, so that's how technically we suppose it. Plus, if you check those 2-3 ayat, you will see that these ayat are revealed towards the end of the life of the Prophet. That means Muslims over 20 years have been taught and told through so many ayat that belief in Allah comes along with belief in the prophets. And therefore, it is understood I don't need to repeat myself time and again all the time. It's understood. And therefore, that could be the reason that it is not repeated. The last straw and the final ayah is the following in Surah Al-Hadid. I mentioned in the morning sessions that Surah Al-Hadid is a concise version of the Quran. Whatever you find in the Quran, and you need the Quran, you find it in Surah Al-Hadid as well. Second last ayah of Surah Al-Hadid is my last word, inshallah, for tonight. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. God is inviting all those who claim to be Muslims and believers. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, amanu billahi wa rasooleh. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, taqullah. O you who believe, ward off yourself against the punishment of God. How? وَآمِنُوا بِرَسُولِهِ. Believe in his messenger. Don't say this is not central. آمِنُوا بِرَسُولِهِ يُؤْتِكُمْ كِفْلَيْنِ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ. God will give you two portions of mercy. Because you are embracing Islam, coming to Islam, God will give you two portions of mercy. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ نُورًا تَمْشُونَ بِهِ. Don't you want to have نور in barzakh? Without nur, you cannot make it to paradise. God will make for you nur if you believe in the Holy Prophet and the Prophets. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. Whatever the past is past. Forgive your past. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوا على محمد وعلى محمد.
Ya Allah.
Tonight is dedicated to one of the unique companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. I say unique because among at least the well-known martyrs of Karbala, Hurr ibn Yazid al-Riyahi enjoyed some unique characteristics that I personally wish to relate to him a lot for the reasons that I explained it. And I hope, inshallah, you relate to him as well. One reason is that because he didn't have a good past, he was not proud of his past. Anyone in this gathering is not proud of his or her past, you are at the right time and right place. Intercede, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask Hurr ibn Yazid to intercede between you and Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Or if you wish, ask Imam Hussein who forgave Hurr ibn Yazid, say, Ya Hussein, Ya Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, my master, I'm also sitting in the majlis of Imam Hussein, in the majlis that is recited for Marthiyah for Hurr ibn Yazid al-Riyahi. Hurr, prior to the morning of Karbala, brothers and sisters, he was going towards hell. Allahu Akbar. As you know, he was one of the commanders of the army of Ibn Ziyad. He is, in fact, the very first person who stopped and blocked the path, the way of Imam Hussein alayhi salam to Kufa. Allahu Akbar. But human error. It doesn't matter if you have, not that it doesn't matter, but what is more important is whether you make a U-turn in your life or not. If you and I don't make a U-turn in our life, in the majlis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, I wonder where else are we going to seek repentance. Hurr ibn Yazid al-Riyahi, in the morning of Karbala, in the morning of Ashura, he says himself, one of his very close friends, he says, Hurr came to me and said, don't you want to water your horse? I said, well, I don't think so. He went to Umar ibn Sa'd and said, do you really want to fight Hussein ibn Ali? La'natullah alayhi. Umar ibn Sa'd says, the least that is going to happen today is I'm going to behead them. Hurr ibn Yazid al-Riyahi, his friend, says that I realize that he is now doubtful. And with the excuse of watering his horse, he stepped away from the army. I saw him shivering and shaking. His name is Muhajir ibn Aws, his friend. He's the narrator. He says, I went up to him and said, Hurr, if in Kufa they had asked me that who is the warrior of Kufa, I would say Hurr ibn Yazid al-Riyahi. Are you scared of fighting? Are you scared of death? He says, Allahu Akbar. Lucky those young men, women, old, young, whoever, that at the time of committing the sin becomes God conscious and is shaking, shivering, and sees that we are between hell and heaven. Hurr ibn Yazid al-Riyahi turned around and said to his friend, no, I'm not scared of this, but أنا أخير نفسي بين الجنة والنار. I see myself between hell and heaven. Wallah, la akhtar al jannata ala shay. By Allah, I'm not going to choose anything over paradise. Wa in qutta'tu wa hurriqt, even if they cut me into pieces and even if they burn me, I'm not going to choose anything over paradise. By saying so, he rode his horse and is now going towards Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. The scene is so beautiful, really. Every time I read this part of the story, and I'm quoting from the book of Irshad of Sheikh al-Mufid, rahmatullah alayhi, that Hurr ibn Yazid al-Riyahi is riding his horse towards the camp of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein while he's putting his hands as a sign of surrender on his head. And he's saying, he's greeting Imam Hussein with a greeting. Anyone in this majlis tonight wishes to repent, follow me under the breast. He's greeting Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, and I say it for myself and on behalf of my parents and all those who have asked me to pray for them. As-salamu alayk, ya baba rahmatillah. As-salamu alayk, ya safinata najat. As-salamu alayk, ya Hussein al-Mazloob. Halli min tawbah. Oh, you the one who is the gate holder, or you are the gate of the mercy of God, ya Hussein al-Mazloob. Is it possible for her to be forgiven? I want to say, he said it to his Imam Zaman. You and I, we say it to Imam Zaman as well. Imam Zaman, my dear Imam, you are the host of this majlis. Is there a chance that I also will be forgiven? I want to say, ya Abu Abdullah Hussein, wallah, we did not your majalis. Ya Abu Abdullah Hussein, we did not do what horrible Yazid did, and you forgave him, ya Hussein. I am among your azadar all sitting here, ya Hussein. Imam Hussein alayhi salam opened his arms and he says, Na'am, taballahu alayk, of course, come down, my dear brother, may God forgive you. Imam Hussein prays for his forgiveness, but Hurr ibn Yazid says, Agha, I'm embarrassed to come down and sit with you. I'm embarrassed of Bibi Zainab. I'm embarrassed of your family. I'm a good horseman and I'm a good fighter. Allow me to go back and fight. I want to be among the first who sacrifice their life for them. When Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Allahu Akbar, remember, listen to this. I do not know of, and through my research about the biography of the martyrs of Karbala, I found only one person among the martyrs of Karbala that Imam Hussein alayhi salam recited Marsiyeh for, and that is none other than Hurr ibn Yazid al-Riyahi. And therefore I read majlis for Hurr ibn Yazid from the holy lips of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam says, لَنِعِمَ الْحُرْ حُرَّ ابْنَ بَنِي رِيَاحِي لَنِعْمَ الْحُرْ مُخْتَلَفَ الرِّمَاحِ لَنِعْمَ الْحُرْ إِذْ جَادَ بِنَفْسِهِ عِنْدَ الصَّبَاحِ. Imam is reading Marsiyeh and is reciting Majlis for Hurr ibn Yazid. Hurr is going back fighting, a bravery fight he presented. First they came dueling him, and then they realized that they cannot fight him. And therefore from all corners they were shooting one body as ordered by Umar ibn Sa'd. Suffices to tell you that Horse found himself on the plain of Karbala. He cannot see anymore because he's bleeding from all limbs round. But Hani and Laka ya Hor, all of the sudden he opened his eyes and he's at the bosom of his master Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Ya Allah, brothers, sisters, pray that inshallah we also die at the bosom of our Imam Zaman. Imam Hussein alayhi salam is hugging Hurr ibn Yazid and is wiping the blood from his face. He looked at the holy face of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and he says, Agha, are you pleased with me? His forehead is also bleeding. Imam Hussein alayhi salam has had a cloth and is trying to stop the blood. And the Imam says, Na'am,
نعم نعم ما ان سمتك امك انت حر في الدنيا والاخره. I want to finish with this. يا ابو عبد الله الحسين, حر ابن يزيد and many of your companions at the time of their death, they departed this dunya while their head was as your bosom, but بمیرم no one was for امام حسین علیه السلام when he was in the godal قتلگاه. Only a painful cry I gave him, consoling him, that Bunayya ya Hussein. Ya Hussein.